Could you do me egg, bacon, spam and sausage without the spam then? What do you mean? I don't like spam.
Spam, 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 spam.
This is Life Spam. Give us 5 minutes of your life and we'll fill it with spam. The new James Bond movie, Spectre, or should that be Spectre? That's my Sean Connery James Bond impersonation, is hitting the theatres right now. I am a unabashed James Bond fan. I've been a fan since I was a kid. I'm a fan of the films, first and foremost, but I also enjoy reading the original novels by Ian Fleming. I think he wrote 13, 14, I think. I've read them all once. Some of them I've read more than once, the ones I think are better. I've also read one or two of the continuation novels that have been done by different authors. That's basically where, you know, once a famous author has passed away, his work gets to live on, or his characters get to live on under the guise of, well, other authors. I think it's happened to everyone. It's happened to Ludlum. It's happened to Tom Clancy. It's happened to Alistair MacLean. In fact, I actually think there are living authors who just team up with someone else and just slap their own name on it. But anyway, that's a different story altogether. So I've read one or two of the continuation novels, although I'm not going to lie. I do tend to think that most continuation novels, i.e. novels under a name but not really of a name, well, they're only one or two steps from fan fiction, but that's just an opinion. Anyway, I am an unabashed James Bond fan. I'm also a fan of, well, a football team back in England and a basketball team in America. So there are a couple of things in life that I'm heavily into, let's say. Being a fan now is different from being a fan, well, back in the day when I was much younger. Back in the day when I was much younger, well, your fandom was a very, I don't know, personal thing, but it's always personal. But what I mean is, it was something that would be conducted in private and then would only come out into the light at certain times. And what I mean by that is, if you were a fan back in the day, you collected things, you probably joined clubs, whether it be a supporters club, you probably subscribed to a magazine, a fanzine, and then every so often you congregated with other fans at a bar or a club or what have you, and your fandom was shared. It's different now, thanks to the internet. Now we can constantly be sharing our fandom. My modern James Bond fandom involves being a member of a website and a chat room. So a big shout out at this moment to CommanderBond.net. It's a terrific website, but there are a lot of great James Bond websites out there. It just happens to be the one that I go to. I go there, I get news, I read articles written by other fans, I see stuff that people have uploaded, whether it be trailers or clips or what have you. And of course, I'm in a chat room where I get to espouse my opinions and hope that they jive with the majority and hopefully not upset too greatly the minority. And I say that because when you're a James Bond fan, what it means is you are a member of a very big church. Now, I'm not the first person to have said that, so I do not in any way attempt to make out that I'm the first person to have had this idea. But James Bond as a franchise is, ooh, the films are over 50 years old. The novels are about another decade and a bit older than that. So James Bond, the character, has been around for over 60 years, which means over the course of 60 years and a couple of generations, opinions are wide and varied about all matter of different things. Like I say, I'm not a fan of continuation novels. I'm not really a fan of what's called the Young Bond series. If you didn't know, there are a series of books written about James Bond when he was a teenager. And it's called the Young Bond novels. Never read them. I'm told they're quite good. Really not my thing. Probably a fan of the films, first and foremost. That was my first exposure to James Bond, which is what I'm going to get to shortly. But even amongst people who are just fans of the films, well, some people are Sean Connery fans. Some people are Roger Moore fans. Some people are Pierce Brosnan fans. I actually lapsed into the website vernacular there. When you're in a internet chat room, you don't refer to Pierce Brosnan as Pierce Brosnan. You refer to him as Brozza. Let me see. Some people are Daniel Craig fans, of which I am. Some people are fans of the other guys, George Lazenby, who played James Bond in just one film, which I will talk about in a little while, and Timothy Dalton, who played James Bond in two films. And for the record, I am of the opinion that Timothy Dalton's portrayal of Bond, while it may not have resonated with the movie-going public, it is probably most reflective of what Ian Fleming wrote when he wrote his character. But that's just my personal opinion, which is what being a fan's all about, which is giving your personal opinion and then attempting to support it any which way you can. Anyway, even amongst fandom, some people, like I say, are Sean fans or Roger fans. Some people are Sean and Roger fans. Some people are Sean and Brozza fans. Some people are Roger and Brozza fans. Some people are Craig fans and Sean fans. Some people like Craig but not Brozza. Some people like Brozza but not Roger. And so on and so forth. Being a fan means you get to have your opinion. Being a fan means you can disagree with another fan's opinion. And as in any sort of family argument, you can criticize, but outsiders can't. Like I say, I'm more than happy to argue with any James Bond fan about what he or she thinks is the best and what I think is the best. But an outsider, I'm just going to try and convince you that James Bond is better than, well, better than whatever you have now, which is not James Bond. That's what being a fan is all about. And if you as an outsider decide to criticize, well, the character that I love, the character I support, then I'm going to hammer you for it, because that's what being a fan is all about. Anyway, the new James Bond film is coming out, and like many other James Bond fans, I have a certain set of slightly disturbing behavior that now becomes part of my everyday existence. Riding around in my car, I've reset my MP3 device to continually play on a loop James Bond soundtracks and my playlists of James Bond theme songs, all as a way to get me in the mood. So if you do catch a ride with me at the moment, there's a good chance you're going to hear Live and Let Die by Wings or Goldfinger by Shirley Bassey, or I have a soft spot for The World Is Not Enough by Garbage. You might also hear Another Way to Die, which many fans don't like, which was the theme tune to Quantum of Solace by Jack White and Alicia Keys. You may hear Skyfall by Adele. You may hear some ones that you haven't heard for a long time, like Lulu screaming Man with the Golden Gun. Another habit that many of us have is also to start popping in James Bond films. Now, there have been 24, I think Spectre is the 24th. And while I've just said to you that I'm a committed James Bond fan, it's a little disturbing that I cannot remember exactly how many James Bond films there have been. I think it's 24. Anyway, many, many fans will line up all their DVDs and Blu-rays and have a James Bond marathon. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I cannot do that. I don't have the patience. As I reach deeper into indeterminate middle age, I no longer have the concentration span. And to be frank with you, I worry about the effect on my body of watching 24 James Bond films in a row, probably bouts of borderline dementia and constipation. And realistically, you can't watch 24 because, well, and I can say this as a fan, a good number of those James Bond films aren't very good. I'm not going to get into a debate with myself as to which ones are better than others, but suffice to say, myself, like every fan, we have the rankings of the ones that we like more than others. So anyway, I tend to pick out four or five. One film that always makes it into the marathon is the last cinema release. So in this instance, that would be Skyfall. And even if I do not think Skyfall is a great movie, I happen to think it is, I would watch it anyway because it was the last one before this one. I've gone deep into my collection and I have found this time around that I've pulled out a lot of the older ones, a couple of the Sean Connery classics, and also On Her Majesty's Secret Service. That's the single James Bond film that stars George Lazenby. Now, as it happens, I'm also reading a James Bond book right now. And again, many fans, that's fan behavior. Listen to songs, watch the films, probably pick out a novel and read it, all to get you primed for the release of the new film. I decided to read On Her Majesty's Secret Service. I think it was Fleming's 12th or 13th novel. It was one of the last ones he wrote before he died. It's really good. I'd forgotten how good it was. I hadn't read it in a good few years. when you watch the film is actually quite faithful to the source material, as faithful as any film is. Now, I don't want to give anything away. Well, you know something? I am going to give it away. Because if you're listening to this and you don't know about On Her Majesty's Secret Service, then it means you're not a James Bond fan, so you have probably consciously avoided it. So if I throw you some spoilers now, I don't think it's actually going to decide whether you do or don't watch it. On Her Majesty's Secret Service is the one where James Bond, I say George because it was George Lazenby who played James Bond in the films, James Bond gets married, and then at the end, the bad guy kills his wife. Yeah, spoiler. So it's actually quite a tragic story. It's a very good novel, and of course it ends tragically, which kind of brings a tear to your eye. And I'm going to talk about that a bit more now, because as a James Bond fan, I decided to look back over the film series and see if I could match up one or two moments from the James Bond movies that would correspond with important moments in my life. So I guess we should start off with where I started. Now, I was first taken to a James Bond film by my father. He took me to see Live and Let Die in the cinema. Went to an afternoon show in a West London cinema. Way, way back, I was about 8 or 9 years of age. I didn't know much about James Bond other than some other guys at school had seen it and said it was great. So I guess I was slightly primed for something that I knew was going to be kind of important. There was also a certain comfort level because Live and Let Die was the first James Bond film that starred Roger Moore. And I was familiar with him from watching TV because I used to watch The Saint and an old TV show called The Persuaders on our black and white TV at home. So I knew that the guy who was The Saint was going to be James Bond. Anyway, I was taken to a matinee with my father. And I don't know if he's a James Bond fan. I don't think he is. He's a film fan more than anything else. But I do suspect he took me because, well, that's the sort of thing you take your son to see. In Live and Let Die, there's a boat chase, which is great. And there's a couple of car chases, which are great. And James Bond kisses Jane Seymour, which, if you are that age, is slightly embarrassing. Think back to when you were that age and how you felt when people, adults, were kissing on screen. As I've got older, I figured out that kissing Jane Seymour would be great. And of course, James Bond has a really cool watch. It's actually a Rolex, which I'm going to get to in a moment. And anyway, in James Bond fashion, his Rolex does different things, including at the climax of the film. James Bond is all tied up with Jane Seymour, the damsel in distress. The villain is going to lower him into a tank with a shark in it so that James Bond dies a terrible, terrible death. Anyway, the music starts to build and you're sitting there, age 8 or 9 in the dark, going, what's going to happen right now? And the camera closes in on James Bond's watch. And all of a sudden, James Bond touches his watch and it starts spinning like a little buzzsaw. And he cuts the ropes and then he climbs down and he fights the villain and kisses the girl and saves the world and all the things that James Bond does. I was hooked. Right at that moment, that was it for me. Done. James Bond fan. Done and dusted. And I don't know if it was that singular thing. I get that singular thing was the culmination of a really cool song. In this instance, Paul McCartney and Wings singing Live and Let Die. Maybe a culmination of the exciting boat chase and the cast matchup and all the cool things that James Bond did. This guy who looked like he could do pretty much anything. And when you're 8, 9, 10 years of age, well, there's a lot worse things to aspire to. Let me put it that way. So I was hooked. And from that moment on, I've been a James Bond fan. So anyway, I've looked back through my life. There are one or two singular moments. Cast back to what we've just talked about and on Her Majesty's Secret Service. I remember being about 10 years of age, 10 or 11 years of age, and back in the 70s, and again, I'm giving away my indeterminate middle age, growing up in England, the local cinemas would put on double bills of James Bond films. Now, remember, this was before the days of VHS, and the only way to see stuff was on TV, and TV waited about 7 or 8 years before it would put any movies on. So the cinema stayed in business by rerunning old films. And during that period of time, various double bills of James Bond films went around the cinema. And so I was taken to see Diamonds Are Forever on Her Majesty's Secret Service. Diamonds Are Forever, I knew it was Sean Connery. It was kind of cool, very easy to follow along. On Her Majesty's Secret Service, well, I didn't know anything about that one. Didn't know who this other guy was who was playing James Bond. And I definitely didn't know that at the end of it, James Bond would get married. And then within about 2 minutes, his wife would be killed. Needless to say, when you're young and as a fan, you are watching your hero on screen, well, this is all pretty nerve-wracking stuff. I think going to see on Her Majesty's Secret Service for the first time, I think that was the first time or one of the first times when I was actually quite unsettled leaving the cinema. I was actually quite sad. I'm not going to tell you that I cried, but I was quite sad because it felt like the end of the world because, you know, my hero had been kneecapped, basically. It's interesting. When I watch that film now, when I read the book now, you know what's going to happen. And even though you know what's going to happen, it doesn't take away from your enjoyment of the film, but it's quite interesting that you realize you are watching a tragedy, at least a tragedy in fiction. And it's quite an interesting experience. So there you go. Honor Majesty's Secret Service, or OHMSS, as you refer to it, if you're on a James Bond fan website. That was one of the first times I was moved to tears in the cinema. I remember seeing A View to a Kill, which was Roger Moore's last James Bond movie. It's the one with Christopher Walken and Grace Jones. And if you look hard, Dolph Lundgren, who Grace Jones was married to at the time, or dating at the time. Anyway, I remember going to see that with my teenage first true love girlfriend. So there you go. I remember seeing Casino Royale about 10 years ago with Daniel Craig. And I remember sitting in that film and thinking, oh my goodness, the James Bond film I've always waited for is being played out in front of me. And what I mean by that is, I said a few minutes ago, when you're a James Bond fan, you do have to confess that a lot of the Bond films, quite a number of them, are either not very good or at times quite stupid. Now, again, as a fan, I get to say that because I'm a James Bond fan, so I'm allowed to criticize. You, on the other hand, if you're not, keep your mouth shut. So for the longest time, you had to sort of half defend being a James Bond fan to people who would look at you and raise one eyebrow in true Roger Moore fashion and say, isn't that all a bit stupid? Anyway, Daniel Craig came along and in Casino Royale, again, a film that, considering it's filmed about 60 years after the book was written, is relatively faithful to the original novel. That whole film, it was great. And I'm sitting there thinking, yep, at my age, a James Bond film has finally been made for me. There's a big debate amongst James Bond film fans, is who are the James Bond films really aimed at? People who are dismissive of James Bond will tell you that it's aimed at kids. But if you sift through Casino Royale and see James Bond getting hit in the knackers with a rope, I think you'll agree that's probably not the best entertainment for eight-year-olds. That being said, I think 99% of every hardcore James Bond fan, and it doesn't matter if you're a Sean fan or a Brozza fan or a Roger fan or a Craig fan or a Lazenby fan or whatever it may be, 99% of us, we were first exposed to James Bond at a young age. So it's interesting. The new James Bond film is coming out. I'm listening to the songs, reading a book, watching a couple of the films. But in a nice way, it casts my mind back all those years into the past of my first James Bond experience. And in this instance, it was an experience I shared with my dad. So that's one of the nice things about Bond films. They keep churning them out. And so in a strange way, even though it may not match up with super dramatic, important moments of your life, they do provide a certain metronome, for want of a fair word, a certain rhythm to one's life. And so it's nice at the arrival of the new James Bond film to take a moment and reminisce about my very first time, Live and Let Die. I'm curious, because I know when the new James Bond film, like I say, it's already out in parts of the world and will be out in the whole world in the next 2 weeks. I'm sure that over the next month or two, there will be some 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old boy going to see a James Bond film for the first time. And I wonder, no, I don't wonder. I know that he will probably be hooked in the same way that myself and all those other guys who call themselves James Bond fans, well, he'll be hooked in the way that we were hooked. And there's a part of me who's quite envious of him. And there's a part of me that's actually, well, it's kind of nice to know that your fandom goes beyond well, in your own room, collecting stuff, getting fanzines, and occasionally coming out into the light, or as it is these days, coming out onto the internet and spouting your opinions. It's kind of exciting. And I'm kind of envious of that 9, 10, 11-year-old boy seeing James Bond for the first time. Because you know something? I was him. By the way, that Rolex that James Bond wore in Live and Let Die, I own one like that now. Not like a souvenir one. I actually treated myself about 15 years ago. I took all my savings and thought, I'm going to buy myself an expensive watch and keep it for the rest of my life. There was only one watch to buy. It's the Rolex that James Bond wore. Except it doesn't spin. I hope if you're that 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old boy now going to see Spectre, well, I hope for your sake, whatever watch he's wearing isn't too expensive.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
You know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you say, live and let die.